Let me clear my throat.
And copyright strike. That's all it takes. What is up, everyone? Welcome to Postcards Podcast, a show where we break down the video game news of the week. My name is Fonzie. I'm joined by my co-host, Gavroni Jones. Gavin, how are you doing?
I'm good. We're at a weird time of year where it doesn't know whether it be winter or spring.
Yeah.
And mask mandate's about to lift. Or did they lift today?
Today's
or
the last
they
day.
Lift Monday.
Today's the last day.
So we're gonna play fuck around and see if we find out. We may not find out this time. We may be good.
Yeah, it's weird where it's like it feels finally for the first time after 2 years where I feel like we're coming out of it and not just going back into the next variant. But yeah, you're right. Who knows if by Monday they're like, nope, we got it wrong. Put two masks on. We don't know what we're doing. I don't know.
All the orgies happened. I don't know. But
yeah, it's supposed to be wild in these streets this weekend.
They got a new kind of jab. It's ooh.
It's a jab that maybe I want. I don't know. Gotta try it.
You never know.
It's like, you never know.
Yeah. What's that show with the God damn it? It's the two
Euphoria?
No.
They're jabbing and taking drugs left and right on that show.
Broad City.
Okay.
Where it just when you were saying that, it just reminded me of like the one guy who was saying he's straight and just like, what did I tell you? He's like, I've never had sex with a man, so I don't actually know.
That's true. You can't talk unless you've done the dance.
I do remember I had a conversation though with like I thought that logic is like kind of sound. I'm like, I don't know. I've never done it. And but I mentioned that to one of my coworkers that Tom Hardy did that. Yeah, he says he had gay sex.
I haven't seen the interview, but I've heard that rumor, which kind of makes him cooler to me that he's just like down for whatever and still like this badass dude, like doing whatever he wants.
Yeah. I wonder if he's asexual. He doesn't seem, but he also likes to be private. So I think that was the problem. He's like, no, this is my business, not yours. Right. But I was like, I mean, I feel like if you know, you get to have the gay sex to really see if you're straight or not. And I said that to one of my coworkers who was gay, and he's like, oh, honey, that's not how that works.
Well, Gavin, that brings you to why I brought the gear tonight on a Friday night.
Oh, boy. We'll get the strap.
That's weird. We're keeping the stream going. But yeah, that reminds me of with the Tom Hardy stuff.
Uh-huh.
I sent you a link. I don't know if you read it, but it was maybe 2 weeks ago. But there's a book being written. I think it came out already. But it's about the behind the scenes of Mad Max and filming it. And how Tom Hardy was like, just really hard to deal with, especially with Charlize Theron. They had this animosity the whole time, and she hired like a private like security to deal with him because he was nuts. But it's just crazy, and I want to read that book because they go into like the details of making the movie. The whole movie had production issues too, like for years. But it just seemed like a cool concept to learn about. But
wow, I mean that sucks. What I had originally heard is just like it was miserable on set because fucking hot as hell. It's like, get out of the shade, go do the scene, get back in the shade. So I figured that's why everyone was grumpy. But if there's more to it, that sucks.
Right. Yeah. Cause there was, I mean, I'm sure they used green screen, but they went to locations, like crazy remote places in desert areas.
My understanding is, for the most part, they didn't use green screens. They just filmed it and then they added extra stuff. Like they do. Have you seen a lot of the behind the scenes with like Game of Thrones?
I've seen like vaguely like bits and parts of stuff, but
they'll just replace all the backgrounds or they'll add like tons of people. It's crazy what the CG people do now.
Or that reminds me of, it was with the Hobbit remakes, or I guess the new editions they did with the Lord of the Rings. And they talked to Ian McKellen, I want to say, the super old Gandalf.
Sure.
And there's this quote I always think about where he was super bummed filming those series of movies because with the original Lord of the Rings.
The Hobbits. Okay.
Yeah, so with the Hobbit, he was super bummed because the original Lord of the Rings with Peter Jackson, they went everywhere, like to New Zealand, crazy places to shoot on location. But with the Hobbit, they just said, I'll put a green screen up everywhere. So he was like, I can act, you know, that's my job, but it's just a bummer to compare it to, and it's still Peter Jackson directing, but I guess just for budget stuff, they green screened everything. And I think that movie suffered because of that, all those three movies. I really have no desire to watch them again. They're just not as good as Lord of the Rings.
I didn't get past the first one. And I remember the first one, though. I saw it 3D. I've only seen it once. I saw it in 3D. I'm like, is this... I thought the 3D might have been why the CG looked so bad. But then afterwards, it was just like, no, this looks terrible.
Yeah.
And that's really when I noticed, like, why does CG look bad now?
Well, that's interesting because I didn't get to see it in this state, but that was one of the first, or one of the big movies. Peter Jackson was trying to do the... it's not 120 frames, but it's like something beyond 60 frames. And he had certain showings that did that because he was like, oh, this is the new thing. I kind of made this movie with that intention. but it looks super weird when you have, it's much like when you're on your, on these newer TVs where they have it enabled, it's like a true motion or whatever, they, where they try and like up the frame rate unnaturally. It just makes the CG and everything like stand out and look really wonky.
So my understanding of part of it is actually a little bit something. A, if you want to touch on the CG thing and why stuff looks bad now, they're not giving render farms long enough to render stuff nowadays. So that's part of it. And when you film it in 3D, you have to render it twice.
Okay, for two different images that like...
Right, so if you're rendering it twice and with less render time, it's going to look fucking terrible.
Gotcha.
And then the other thing is with that, and like a lot of movies, we don't think about how good they looked because you were just so into it. But with the older Lord of the Rings, they used a lot of miniatures.
And that stuff really stands the test of time when you do that.
Like shocking.
Terminator 2, we talk about that's my favorite action movie ever because they do a lot of that.
I think even one of the ones, I was watching a thing on this recently, but like in these practical effects, like Gotham Knight, we don't think about, they flipped a fucking truck.
Right. In Dark Knight, yeah.
Dark Knight, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. They just flipped it. That's what Nolan does, though, especially in Tenet. I didn't like that movie that much, but there's a cool scene where there's a plane that just crashes into a building. Like, I think it's on, physically on the tarmac and, like, crashes in.
But,
like,
blew they up did the, that. Blew up the thingy.
The movie theater. The hospital, yeah.
Yeah.
With Heath Ledger, yeah. And it's just that stuff, you could, it just will last for 1,000 years and just still look that cool because they physically did it. Mm-hmm. But I'm a nerd for that kind of stuff, and I always gravitate towards when they do it. I don't mind you mixing practical with CG.
No.
And sometimes CG only is dope if that's, but I think you have to like intend from the ground up. Say with like the original Avatar or whatever, it's like, it was always intended, so it works. Mm-hmm. But when you're just doing whatever, you know, Fast and Furious 25 and just CGing the cars and everything, it's like, it's tough.
I think that comes down to, yeah, it's that. It's also like, let's use cameras in a way that's realistic, right? Like what an actual camera can do. And then generally don't put the CG at the very front of the frame.
Gotcha.
Put it in the background.
Yeah. And that's beyond my knowledge of stuff. I just know when it looks weird, I'm like, I'm not happy and I'm going to complain about it forever.
Right. Because you've been alive for, you know, 30 something years. Yeah. It's like, I'm used to seeing things.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, I think we'll save it for the end of the pod, but I'd like to talk about, because we both watched the Batman movie recently. We're holding hands all the time. It was great. But we'll save for the end because it is, I would like to just, you know, talk about spoilers and stuff, but we'll save that for the very end, not even touch on it.
By the way, so I haven't been in that movie theater in probably 2 years now, at least. Yeah. In my mind, I thought they had recliners.
Yeah, they have fancier seats, but they don't recline. But now the Tri-Cities one, that one is like premier. You can recline them. You can reserve your spot, which now the Orion can do, which is, you know, should be a standard. But I also noticed they didn't turn the house lights, and this is just nerdy dumb stuff, but they didn't turn the house lights off all the way.
So I've been to a few of those fancier theaters, and it's like it's mixed whether you get that or not. Mm. I didn't mind it too much, but I think you have to know going in that that's what you're getting.
And I was the same, where I hadn't been to that theater in years, where I went to the Tri-Cities for the original Batman when I watched it last week. And yeah, the house lights come off. I thought the sound was, I think both of them do the whole like Dolby Atmos thing, which reminds me, do you remember when that movie theater was first built? For at least 2 years, they played that intro of Dolby Atmos to let you know, hey, you're watching Dolby Atmos. They had a little...
Are you talking back when the Orion was first?
Yeah,
because
Orion.
I wasn't here.
Oh, okay, gotcha. That could have been it. Because the Orion, that's first when the whole Dolby Atmos was like taken over. So because of that, they'd play this 2 minute long intro, just showing you how it's important and talking to people making it. It's like, that's cool. I want to watch the movie though.
Right.
And then, although all of that, you know, is fine, but it was just like too long. You want to watch a movie. But then the one in Tri-Cities, they're... I don't know if they do Dolby Atmos, but it sounds, I thought it sounded better watching it there, just like the bass and what's going on. But
the one Tri-Cities does have one thing that freaks me out is like a arcade cabinet for
Beat Saber.
It's like, this is how you spread pink eye. 100%.
And they kept that rolling. It's been there because we've gone a couple times through COVID and it's like, that's still been there. You have to wear the mask to watch the movie, but I don't know what it's like.
I mean, you're not going to get COVID from that thing.
Yeah.
You'll get pink eye.
They might as well have someone just cough on you right when you walk into the Beat Saber booth.
Yeah.
But I've seen that every time. I've yet to like try it because I have Beat Saber at home. Mm-hmm. I don't want to like totally, you know, blow everyone out the water with my skills. So I want to give them hope that they can play the game.
You're telling me these kids coming in don't also have Beat Saber at home?
Yeah, true. Now it's super easy to get.
And are hitting it with that Ritalin brain.
Yeah. They're doing backflips and shit. Yeah.
Oh, that would be so cool. I bet there's... Oh, now I want to look that up. I'm sure there's a streamer that's doing backflips.
Well, there's easily fails, and then the advanced group that are doing like crazy awesome, like jumping off the wall intentionally and not just like jumping into their TV.
Man, how fucking hard would it be to do a backflip in a VR helmet? Even with it strapped on, like your inner ear has to be really tuned.
Well, that's a good point. I think if you do it enough, you could probably handle it. You have to practice. Mm-hmm. Maybe practice with like a bike helmet on for a while and then just do it. As long as the thing can hold onto your head, you could do it. I don't know why you would do that. What a risk.
For the content, sure, baby. For the content.
Risk breaking this like $400, $300 machine. But there are some, if you really want to feel like you're bad at games, there's some great TikToks or YouTube videos of these advanced people in VR that play Beat Saber, and they're just like doing like Matrix, you know, like reverse stuff. Yeah, behind, they're just like crouching, and like it's nuts, and it makes me, you know, feel like an idiot. But yeah, but it's almost like you have to do that for these like crazy tiered levels in Beat Saber, because there's ones that people create that are just insane. But yeah,
I'd love to play Beat Saber. The thing that turns me off is like when I see people playing and they're like crazy good. It has like, it seems like it's even more harsh than like Guitar Hero in terms of like, oh, you fucked up like four times. Well, game over.
Yeah. And that's something you can toggle in the options, because originally when I started playing, it gives you a couple of chances and then game over. And it's really, it just hurts the like momentum, because like you're trying to have fun and get into it. And then because everyone sucks when they first start, it just stops it. But you can turn that off, where you can just keep playing and not hit any notes. You can even turn off the direction on the notes, so you just have to physically hit them.
Okay.
Yeah. Or like, I want to say you can change the colors too, where not just change them to whatever color you want, but as long as you physically hit whatever box, then you're good. Sure. So it doesn't matter the direction. But yeah, I do like the accessibility or approachability options with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's dope.
When do we combine that with Dance Dance Revolution?
That's one that you think would have had a renaissance or a comeback, but it's all now just VR. I guess if VR can match the whole, you know, seeing where your feet go, then maybe that's the like final nail in the coffin, but there's still some potential there with like the dance pads.
Yeah.
Those are cool. I remember my aunt's friend Becky brought a dance pad to our grandma's house, and we played it. And it's like the crinkle, like the ones that you can, they're portable, right? It's like the in-home ones where it's like that crinkly plastic and trying to like
It hasn't advanced since the NES. It's the same fucking thing.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess to keep it like cheap enough to like buy and actually set up and durable. But they're fun. It's just like, and I've yet to actually try an arcade, like an actual setup where it's like a thing, a physical structure you're jumping on and stuff. But I imagine that's pretty dope.
I've only played a few times in arcade, but it seems like they were insensitive, so you really had to fucking stomp. And I wonder if that's because these like hardcore players are stomping on them so hard.
Yeah. Yeah, because who knows if they're replacing whatever, you know, sensor on there. I highly doubt it. They just let it roll for 10 years.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, but what you been watching? What you been playing this week?
I haven't been watching anything besides Seinfeld, so there's no no update on that this week. But I've been playing. I finished Horizon Forbidden Dawn. Forbidden West, and I just finished it like 2 days ago. And it's dope. It's really really good, man. It's like I was telling you before the pod that it's at my top of the list for game of the year. Mm-hmm. I haven't played enough to really like, you know, put a stamp on it yet, because it's like Elden Ring, I'll probably never touch it, but that's one that's big on there. I did beat Dying Light, but beyond that, there's been a bunch of stuff that I just haven't played yet, but for me, that's the one right now. But yeah, what about you?
That's awesome, dude. I really want to play that one, and now I do think my roommate just donated me his PS4, so
he's yet to come back? Because one day he's going to come back thinking you're there, and you're going to be gone.
He did come back and clean.
Okay.
Because he left that place an absolute shitstein. I remember, like, he had up against the wall, there was a Frito basically glued to the wall.
One Frito?
It was a big Frito with, like, snus packets. It was, like, glued to the wall with snus packets. Like, why? I think he just spit them out the side of his bed. And they just stuck
like
there.
Like a cartoon character, like spits it with
enough
velocity?
There were snus packets everywhere. I think, to be fair, he was relapsed, so I think he just gave fucking up.
Right, it affects everything of your life. Yeah. Every aspect.
So, not hilarious, but...
Gotcha. Without the context, it seems insane to do that.
Yeah, but watching him playing Elden Ring, dude, it's got me. So I'm having a blast. I did get to a point. I think I found the point you would give up. I think you would have a lot of fun until you get to the first dungeon.
What, the start screen or
no? The first dungeon is so incredibly big.
Yeah,
it is the biggest thing I've ever seen. It's like four times bigger than the biggest like Legend of Zelda dungeon. And it was so big, I didn't know where the end was, and it's because it was so far away, I couldn't see it very well in the fog.
Gotcha.
So also, one of these guys, I'm just going to spoil it now, in that dungeon, one of these guys, I saw a bunch of little ones, and I go up, I'm like, oh, they're friendly, because this guy was friendly.
Yeah.
And one of them, I know this is a Kool-Aid reference, busts through the wall like the goddamn Kool-Aid man and beat me up. It was so, like, it took me a second, but I'm like, it has to be.
Yeah.
It 100% has to be a Kool-Aid reference.
You mess with the mama pot is what happened.
Yeah. I would love to know if they are doing some trick to make the world look this big. It is a big world, but, like, it gives me vertigo when I look down a cliff.
Interesting. Maybe some distortion or whatever, what's going on.
Maybe something.
Does the world just keep going, or there is, like, a cutoff where there's...
It's so big.
It looks big just from the map, from this footage.
I don't know how big it is yet because I can't get to... You have to unlock parts of the map, and I can't get to all of them because I die before I get to the map.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So I just got to this area they're showing right now. This is the newest area after the first dungeon.
And you mentioned the caves. It's like a...
The caves are so fun.
So what is different about these caves?
They're just mini dungeons.
Oh, okay.
So you go in, they're not very long, there's a boss at the end, you usually get a cool reward, whether you want the reward or not. Most of the time I don't, but that's not the point.
Yeah.
I want to go explore. Let me explore.
Right.
And so this game is just like, yeah, let's let you explore, bud.
Is the reward different weapons or just like XP?
Yeah, a lot of weapons, sometimes it's crafting materials, but mostly weapons that I don't want.
Now, I haven't actually asked you this question or seen on reviews. Do the weapons break?
No.
Okay.
Nor do they degrade, which I believe they do in some previous Soulsborne games.
That'd just be an extra, like, fucking diarrhea on your experience, at least for, like, a newbie. I imagine for these veteran players, if they wanted to, like, enable that, great. But, like, for me, that would suck even more.
Yeah. They've honest to God, to my understanding, because I talk about it with my coworker, who he's played all the games, except for, I believe, Bloodborne and Sekiro, Dark Souls and Demon Souls. And so I'm just comparing. I'm like, hey, is this the way it was? And he goes, yeah, it was like that, but it was harder. And here's why.
Okay.
So they've definitely rounded off a lot of the corners. Now, do you know what a run back was?
No.
So a run back was your save point compared to the boss of a dungeon is a little bit away. So when you die, you have to run back. Now, when you get there the first time, usually you want to fight all those enemies. But once you get good, you're going to find a way to run there past all the enemies, get through the fog door where they can't touch you. So that's the run back. It's an inconvenience. They've basically gotten rid of the run back.
Oh.
And they've gotten rid of weapon degradation. There's a lot of stuff. It's really pretty streamlined, and it's still kicking me in the dick. Although I have found at this point really, and I've kind of been cheating. I've been letting the game cheat a little bit for me. If I get into a boss
battle.
Tell
me how to cheat at this game, please.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But that being said, you might want to look up how to do it when you play it, how to do what I do. Because I would have missed it.
Yeah.
And everyone's saying, like, this is the easiest thing to miss is how to summon ghosts.
And they help you, right?
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Oh, boy, do they distract the enemy. And that's all I need them to do. And then, so you can summon, I'm just summoning up the Wing Wang.
Yeah, anybody.
When I get stressed. And I'm like, I could spend, because the first boss, even with like a free summon that it gives you, not a ghost, but a summon, it still took me 2.5 hours.
Oh, dang.
And so after that, I'm like, you know, I could be here for 5 hours.
And no pausing, right? It's like it's got to be consecutive. No pausing.
There is a way to pause, people have found. And I actually did it the other day, but I had enough time to navigate the menu to get to the help menu.
Do you pray to From Software to like give you a chance?
You go into the pause menu, you select an item, and then you select the how do I work this menu option, and it will pause it.
Oh.
So these are little ghost guys.
Yeah. There's no limit to the amount? Or
yes,
like,
there is.
Oh, okay, got it.
Or at least you have to have enough mana to cast them, and I have jack shit for mana, so I can do one summon before I have to refill my mana.
Gotcha.
But man, it's a blast. I've been playing that. I played a little bit of, there was a game that was shown off at the Game Awards, Have a Nice Death.
I vaguely remember this, yeah.
I was very excited. It looks like, it looked to me like, it's got a ton of personality. It's got its own kind of personality. But it reminded me of Hollow Knight. Or is it Hollow Knight?
I think you're right, yeah, with the art style.
Right. So it looked like a very polished Hollow Knight. The thing I didn't realize, this is a roguelike, and I really wish they hadn't fucking done that. The level generation is incredibly boring. It's not even like technically wise to make these levels, programming wise, would be the easiest thing in the universe. There's almost no logic to it. Huh. You're just going left to right. They're really boring. The enemies are not fun to fight. Oh. I would check, because the animation is brilliant, the sound is brilliant, the effects are brilliant, but it has bad game feel.
Gotcha. With the actual controls or how you feel when you're moving around?
Yeah, like both. Attack. Like especially when I'm fighting, and it just made me think of like, that's what, what's it called? What's that one game where you're crawling around, it's all pixelated?
Now there's about a million of those.
Yeah, I know. I think it even had Souls in the name too.
God, was it Titan Souls? I want to say. But it was a Souls, but pixelated.
I mean, Titan Souls was...
Was it top down though, or it was 2D?
Side-scroller. Like, you actually played it.
Interesting. I couldn't think because my brain doesn't work.
Anyway, but yeah, so this, like, it looks like it should be amazing. It's not. But something that was honestly really fun though was...
Was it the Valve game you're talking about?
The Valve game.
Ooh.
I played the Valve game.
Now, it was fun. Last time I couldn't think of the actual name.
It's not going to blow your mind. But help
me on the actual name, because it is...
I wrote it down. Aperture Desk Job.
There we go.
It's fun. Again, not going to blow your mind, but it's a fun little jaunt. It's 30 minutes long.
I do remember that it's short.
Yeah, pick it up, play it, have some fun.
So what do you think of it?
It's fun.
Yeah?
That's it.
What are you doing exactly? You're just kind of solving puzzles?
You're testing.
Gotcha.
He's got toilets for you to test. I'm not even fucking joking. You are a tester for these toilets.
But all kind of like just toilets or various objects in this, you know, world.
He has an idea for a new toilet and he wants you to help him like pitch it to the boss. And that's the game. That's the whole game. Again, whole game. It's 30 minutes.
Yeah,
we don't have much time for plot.
Right.
It does have that you mentioned that it does have a form of they got a great the best voice actor. For the surprise. I want to know who the robot is. I don't know who the robot is.
That's one thing they nailed, especially with Portal 2, is just that's really where they started with this crazy voice acting that, I mean, I can't say that because GLaDOS in the first one is one of the best, you know, antagonists ever. But in the second, in Portal 2, you have, I forget his name. He's a well-known comedian actor, but he's the voice of that other robot that's helping.
Stephen Fry?
No.
Or the other one?
He's in a bunch of stuff. He's this tall, gangly dude, British guy, but he voices the helpful robot.
I think he's Stephen Fry's acting partner. Who's the opposite of Stephen Fry?
I'd have to look it up.
Wow.
But I know what you're talking about. But they nail the voice acting again in this game.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It really makes me want to go back to this world. They do some interesting things with the world a little bit. They're not really doing that much, but they kind of flesh it out a little bit, which still makes me wonder. I know this is supposed to be part of the Half-Life universe. I almost wish it wasn't. So it could be its own wild and crazy thing. Because this doesn't feel like Half-Life to me.
Gotcha. What about Portal? Because Portal is Half-Life, but it kind of creates its own lane where it's comedic, right? And, you know, weird and self-aware.
Yeah.
So you're just testing out toilets.
You are testing out toilets. Don't watch the whole thing, though.
Gotcha. Now, of course, the gameplay is short, but is the, what you're actually manipulating pretty simple, because it seems like it's geared towards the Steam Deck, but you can play it on PC.
It's controller only, basically.
Gotcha.
And there's a few things, like you have to type some stuff in. If you get any further, you're going to run into spoilers.
Okay, well, I'm going to reverse here.
But yeah, aside from
this... How can you spoil testing these toilets over and over again?
You'll have to find out.
Okay.
Carve out 30 minutes. It's free.
I do want to... Yeah, I know you told me you were playing it. It's like, I got to try it, but I totally forgot.
Aside from that, movies and shows. I'm still working my way through the not Lethal Weapon, Mission Impossible movies. Finished 2.
What'd you think of 2?
Fucking Christ! Like, I know you're gonna hate me for this, but that movie is terrible. It is really bad.
Now, hold on, I haven't seen it in a while, so I can't like. I mean, it's not a hill I'm gonna die on.
But... If you come fresh off of 1, which is great, and then go right to 2. Holy shit, is a dumpster fire. And I love the director. What's his name? He made Hard Boiled and stuff. But yeah, this movie's I love the finale though, because it's I forgot how bad the finale is. It's really bad. But they're on these motorcycles and they're supposed to be cross rockets, but they keep doing jumps and twists and stuff. And so they have to change them out for like dirt bikes with like a crotch rocket shell shittily put on it, and they are frequently, and they're cutting constantly. So there are some times where it's like, crotch rocket, dirt bike, crotch rocket, dirt bike. It's just back and forth. Like,
oh no,
everyone can see this. We don't even have to look for it.
Yeah.
You have fooled no one. and then that scene where they jump off and the motorcycles explode. Like,
I vaguely remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. That was, oh man. But then I got to 3, and 3 is a fucking masterstroke.
What even happens in 3?
It's got this deep, I mean, the first one has it too, but it's like, it's a deep conspiracy with this guy, yeah. And they have this famous actor, I forget his name, but he is just menacing.
Is that when at a certain point, Simon Pegg jumps on and it's kind of a new director that takes over? Is that the third one?
He's in it for all of 7 minutes.
Okay. But at least it's that director that has started the third one.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. And then like the fourth one's where I just started that, Simon Pegg is fit. Now, so he's going to be in the action.
Oh, nice.
But that's also, that was the thing with Tom Cruise, is like, he owns the franchise and he said, I want a different director every time.
Gotcha. But it seems like he's stuck on, well, maybe not with the newest ones, but I know for a time it was the guy who did Lost, right? What's his name? He's like, he did Star Wars as well.
He is producing 4.
Okay.
I don't think he actually directed 4, but he did produce 4.
Gotcha,
I saw him in the
it.
Credits. I was like, is he directing? But that's been fun. And then, dude, HBO, man, they just got 2 great series. They put out 3 episodes of Our Flag Means Death, which is Taika Waititi's new baby.
Oh.
So far, I don't think it's as good as What We Do in the Shadows, but it's still fun. It's still Taika Waititi. You can't, or however you pronounce his name. Like, he does, like...
See, that's all I need to sign on to, like, watch something with him, because he's up. Now he's in it too. I'm looking at the
trailer. He is in it. I kind of wish they hadn't revealed that in the trailers, but yeah, he's in it as Blackbeard, who I haven't seen yet.
Oh, these are the pirates that are trying to be ethical, right?
Yeah, trying to be an ethical
How
is
that
pirate.
Not? How's that a miss, man? That sucks.
How's it a miss?
Yeah, you're saying like it's not as good as What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, it's still good though.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it's just like, I think What We Do in the Shadows is better, but it's still fun. I think it's going to have a really cool area for character growth. I don't think he's going to succeed as an ethical pirate. I think he's going to become unethical, and I want to watch that journey.
Nice.
Because so far, everyone's just laughing at this man.
Right.
They are not taking him seriously.
Well, there's Rhys Darby, who's in Fly the Conchords, which I love him. He's awesome. Mm-hmm. Who actually does a voice in Half-Life Alyx, by the way.
Oh, she's in it too? She's terrifying?
Oh, Leslie Jones. Yeah, she's dope.
So it's fun. It's a good world. But I'm so curious to this man's journey. He's not. I guarantee he's not going to be the ethical pirate at the end.
This totally passed me by. I know you told me about it, but I like seeing what Taika as this like crazy grizzled pirate. But yeah,
well, just started, so it hasn't really passed you by yet.
Okay, so just the first 3 episodes are available right now.
Yeah, first 3. I think they come out on Thursdays, maybe Fridays.
Gotcha.
And then there's another one that just came out called, I forget what it is, but it's John C. Reilly. Wait, is that the right guy?
Yeah, he's Wreck-It Ralph. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he just got a new one on HBO. I forget what it's called, but it's about the rise of, you can probably type in HBO Lakers.
I think. Oh, I have seen the trailer for that. That looks dope.
Dude, it is awesome so far. I am, this is the one I'm most excited about.
I remember watching a trailer because it takes place, it's telling the story of how the Lakers kind of came to be as far as their iconic run or whatever.
Right.
Starting in the 70s, they kind of took this team and, you know, improved it and brought various players over. There's another like famous player that he's trying to get, at least in the trailer that they show.
Magic.
Magic Johnson.
They're trying to get Magic. And that dynamic is so interesting of them trying to hunt down Magic, but Magic's trying to be true to Magic. Mm. But also Magic's dad's like, he's just like, oh, it's good. This is like, it's crazy how like at the end of the day, like even like a decent sports movie is like an awesome inspiring movie, and this is gonna be it's gonna be good.
I forgot. Yeah, I watched the trailer and it's awesome just from the trailer alone.
Yeah.
And I know they're trying to get Magic Johnson, but also they go into the John C. Reilly's character because he originally does something else and then he like buys the Lakers somehow.
He traded in his real estate empire basically.
Yeah.
To do this, which is insane. And they do things. I was even talking about this with my boss because we deal with like small millions of dollars, and this guy's dealing with like big millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Like, so to trade, like he traded for the Lakers partially in property, right? So he's like, here's a bunch of money. Also, here's some property. And he's like, I'm giving this guy the Sears Tower.
Yeah.
As part of the money for the Sears fucking tower.
Right. It's a huge gamble. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. So, man, this is the one. Got to check that shit out.
Dang. Yeah, it kind of reminds me of when you mentioned like the sports aspect to it, because I'm not like fully engrossed in the only really the sport I watch is like UFC.
Right.
But when it comes to this kind of stuff, I did find myself getting really obsessed watching. It's like it's this Michael Jordan documentary about his heyday. I want to say it was
The Last Dance.
The Last Dance. Mm. It was on somewhere else eventually.
And I took that personally.
Did you? Oh, you know.
Is that from that or
yeah,
something?
Yeah. Okay. Some kind of challenge or whatever where he says that. I think it's the other dude. Is it something Peyton? Man, I'm like super in the weeds now. But there's another player that's like very, very good, but kind of gets overshadowed during this whole iconic run of Michael Jordan.
Yeah, that was the era when they were just all celebrities. I mean, there's still a lot of celebrities in
it. It's like the Dream Team or whatever. It's like three players.
They had Rodman, Pippen.
Right. Right. I think it's Pippen that kind of gets overlooked. But yeah, I watched that and it's like I had no just like overall like face value knowledge of it. And it was just super interesting to like hear the details of what was going on years later.
And that's, I think that's what I get out of this too, is like I didn't pay attention. All I knew was Michael Jordan.
Right.
And I vaguely knew the other people because they were in Space Jam.
Yeah.
That was
you're in
it.
Space Jam, you're on my radar.
They were in Space Jam or in NBA Jam.
Yeah.
And I knew Dennis Rodman didn't pass because of NBA Jam. Which they did code into that game. But this is interesting too. I never knew about, I knew Kareem was just a tall dude.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a cool name.
Right.
I didn't know about his personality. Now we get some Magic's personality. We get the rivalry between Magic and who's the white dude? Larry Bird.
Right. Who's
a
big deal.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah. Yeah. See, we were like, this is the, I want to say early 90s to late 80s. And we were kids then. And so I just don't have, like, I know it was happening, but I just didn't know the, you know, how serious it was. And so, especially with Michael Jordan's run, I know he was a huge star, but I didn't watch all the time. So it's like, I just kind of vaguely, so it's cool to go back and hear the, you know, the actual details of what's going on and without all the, without the political like responses and stuff. It's like, here's how we actually felt. Here's what was going on. I love that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, you're watching some bangers, Kevin.
Dude, just bangers. Plus, nice. Plus, what, not Fast and Furious too. That's a couple.
Mission Impossible.
I think Fast and Furious may be my next one. Either that or the Bourne movies.
You know The Bourne movies, I haven't seen in a long time, but with the Fast and Furious ones, I did rewatch them, pretty much all of them, with my nephew, and they're kind of fun to watch.
Sure.
He eventually like was like, I don't want to watch this anymore.
Do like, I okay, need cool. to pay attention to the plot, though, at all?
I don't know. I mean, the plot is there, but it's a
about
lot of like
family.
It's about family. That's all I got to know. And it's people backstabbing and people coming back from the dead and twins and, you know, people remembering stuff all of a sudden. It's a lot of that. Like, literally, that's what's happening in the movie. But it's good.
It's a soap opera. You got people turning evil.
100%. It's a soap opera.
Okay. I'm down.
Yeah. It's not a bad franchise to jump into, but if you got time, which apparently you do because you're watching all these movies.
Yeah, I guess I should probably do the Spider-Mans before I do all the Fast and Furious. That's a way bigger commitment.
You got them. You got time, Gavin. You got time. Well, we can jump into some of the video game news, Gavaroni. We got the first one here, some quickfire news. We got some news on Overwatch 2, finally. So there's an Overwatch 2 update.
Is there?
Yes. Yeah, so I have the actual video here that I skipped on. Here we go. As I skip to it.
I'm not convinced this hair isn't CG.
Yeah, it could be. I like his jacket, but I want to say this is some kind of a creative director. So game director Aaron Keller has this footage that we're watching here, but I'm watching my stories. That's just Queen Bundy in the chat referencing me watching Fast and Furious. But yeah.
Oh, shit.
Are you a big Overwatch fan?
I was when it came out. It was really fun when it came out.
Did you play it?
It was a nice, perfectly balanced game, unless everyone on that server decided to unbalance it, which was also fun.
Like playing one character?
Yeah, everyone is just May and we're all ice walling and freezing and stuff. Like, it was stupid, but it was fun.
Gotcha. See, it's been something that I'm curious on, but because it seems so complicated with all the different characters, the abilities and stuff.
It is now.
I'll watch footage and it's just like, it just blows my mind. So I just never jumped into it. But for people that are interested in Overwatch 2, so we got some news from the game director, Aaron Keller, who was here on screen. So they announced PvP releasing before PvE, so a game can release quicker.
Pulling the Halo.
Yeah, exactly. Admits communication has been poor, / let community down on content. Ensures Overwatch 2 will be a living game with updates content far exceeding Overwatch 1. That update is from Benji Sales on Twitter, giving the overview on what they announced. But there's a full, you know, actual developer update, which they talk about in detail. But they're giving some news on Overwatch 2, which was pretty much put aside or at least delayed because we got a lot of news last year, or at least they reveal that they're working on it and then nothing for a while.
Right. It's just in such a weird place. It's like, kind of, who cares?
I mean, that's me, but I know it's like a huge, absolutely huge juggernaut game.
Yeah.
But it's just like not on my radar, but I know people do care about it.
I mean, I think it was cool. Like, I don't even know if they still have the Overwatch League going on anymore. And that was such a big deal. Like, I know, so I know somebody who knew like the Florida team. And they were like, I know they were bragging about just how much money they were making at the time. Like, they're building their own stadium, which in my opinion is stupid. Just use an existing stadium. Yeah. Why would you need a video game stadium?
Right. Because then you don't have to pay for that. It's like you can just use a stadium that exists.
Right.
There's too much overhead if you own your own stadium.
Right.
But maybe they're just like investing on like, this is the future. We're going to, you know, now we own it, this actual physical stadium. But then COVID says, hold my beer. Right. And throws all that shit out of whack.
Right. No, but I don't know anyone that plays Overwatch anymore. And it's like you said, the meta's like, it's too complicated now. It used to be dumb, stupid fun. You had three abilities and a gun. Go at them, slugger. Try and move the payload, but also your teammates aren't playing along. Gotcha. So just have fun.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I'm just out of the loop on this kind of thing, but I think they have a big challenge to succeed on the original Overwatch with whatever updates, whatever mechanics they add to it. So it's going to be a challenge, if not just keep updating the original Overwatch, but people seem to want the next step. But yeah, it's going to be, I'm definitely going to be watching from the wayside, like how do they, you know, roll out this sequel that people want, that fans want. But yeah.
I'll be curious how the Microsoft money, does this franchise make a comeback with the Microsoft money?
Yeah, it's true. That's true. Or they let them do their own thing. I have no idea. I'm in the same boat as you guys. Don't care if I know it's a huge thing.
Right, yeah.
But the next quick fire is COD, Call of Duty Warzone coming to mobile.
Yeah.
So that's happening. So a little scuttlebutt here from the actual announcement.
Well, Warzone. That's
Warzone.
The...
Oh. Yeah, because there is Call of Duty Mobile, which is actually apparently like huge, successful on mobile. But from IGN, they have the detail breakdown. Activision is developing a brand new AAA mobile version of Call of Duty Warzone. The game isn't just a straight port, and Activision is still hiring developers to make it. Warzone on mobile likely won't release for a while yet. So the initial reveal that they're working on it, trying to get devs to join the team, but it's a full-blown... I don't know how they're going to get Warzone working on phones. The phones are so crazy now.
Fortnite works on a phone.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It is, you know, just more realistic visuals and resolutions and blah, 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 but... I'm sure they can figure it out. If not, get the actual amount of players on the actual map smaller. Sure. But yeah,
wow.
Which that's a nut they have to crack because mobile's, it's something we take for granted because it's not our scene, but it's a crazy, you know, part of the game industry. It's huge.
We should get into that scene. That way we can start our YouTube videos, right? It's like Raid Shadow Legends.
Yeah. That's
I've been playing this new, like those super cheesy commercials, like, oh, we're like soldiers on Tetris blocks in the ocean. Oh, and they're just being way too reactive.
It's yeah, like, I know exactly what you mean.
Shoot me.
A lot of the YouTubers that I'll watch, like Jace Two Cents, who breaks down like PC stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They cool. always have their Raid Shadow Legends ad bit in the beginning. And it's like, I think Hard Drive Online, they do like these, it's almost like the Onion for video game news.
Uh-huh.
They did one on Raid Shadow Legends, like the first player to actually play the game. Happened recently. It was just like it was a joke and I'm butchering it, but the fact that all you see of that game is ads, like who actually plays that game?
Right. But what if it's fun? What
it
if
might
we're
be.
Just missing out? But I will never know. It's like that stupid like man soap that they're always like, you're using detergent. It's like, I will never buy that product.
I just
because
bleach,
of these
man.
Ads. Yeah.
Yeah, I know it's like Sasquatch. There's a bunch
that's
of
it.
Them.
Squatch, yeah. Squatch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh God.
All right, Gavin. Let's talk about something we do care about. We got Dead Space remake news here.
So excited. I'm not even a fan of these games, and I am fucking
You're not a fan? Did you play them?
Jacked.
Oh, you don't like the spooky, scary
No, I
games.
Did buy... I bought one at full price not that long ago.
Okay.
The original. And the graphics still hold up. They don't look like this.
No.
But they still hold up. It's really, if you just up-res the textures, the game looks great.
Which that reminds me, maybe a year ago when we were at the old place, I played Dead Space 2, the PC version, and it lets you go all the way up to 4K. And yeah, you're right, where it still holds up. It's... you know, it's a good game aside from the dated visuals, but like the visuals aren't that bad. It's on the same vein of like Resident Evil 4, where it's like, it's still, right. You could play it and have the exact same experience. At the same time, am I super crunk for a full blown remake? Absolutely. But we got a dev diary or stream where they talked about, EA talked about some of the details here. So as we look at the B-roll.
I love that they're showing this. I almost wish they had kickstarted this game so they could, because it feels kind of like a Kickstarter where they're giving you these updates and saying, hey, here's what we're going on. Want to let people know what's going on.
I found that interesting too, because they almost don't need to do that. It's a huge, well, I consider a huge property that's been kind of left by the wayside. And it's EA who absolutely can afford to foot the bill, but they are revealing a lot of the game. And I wonder if this tactic will pay off, where if games in the future that are rebooted or what have you go, let's try and reveal as much as we can as we're working on it to maybe... So that when you sneak up on the release and you don't have like a Halo Infinite situation, people are like, whoa, what is this? We don't like this. But if you
you're going to run into that. Oh, it's what they call the thing?
The what? The Craig?
Yeah, Craig. Yeah. Whereas this is still pretty ugly, but it's just like the promise is there.
Exactly.
But a lot of people don't give a fuck about promise. A lot of people aren't going to care about this. We're going to care about this.
Right, right.
But
that's true. Who, you know, are a majority of gamers going to be seeing this footage, or they're just going to actually walk into GameStop, Walmart and see, oh, Dead Space 2. I've heard about that.
Right.
But I do like this tactic. I go back and forth. It's like, I don't know if they need to do it because I'm super excited for it, but I'm also not mad at all seeing the little bits, little updates. And it seems like they're following that same idea with Dead Space.
That lighting looks really nice.
Yeah.
Like when he flipped out his gun, you see the way. That's gonna turn back. Oh, the flashlight turns off when you're reloading? Oh, I hate it.
That's great.
Oh, I hate it.
Oh. It's like there's other games I've done that. Was it like Fear? There's other games where you had either Doom flashlight.
3.
Yeah. Flashlight or gun. It was like, oh dude. Yeah, that was Doom.
Oh
yeah, right.
Yeah.
But they did break down some of the advancements they're doing with the dialogue. So this update here is from IGN. During a recent live stream for the upcoming Dead Space remake, EA Motive announced a new dialogue system titled Alive. Mm-hmm. So main protagonist Isaac Clarke will have three dialogue variations, normal, fatigued, and injured. Each has drastically different ways Isaac delivers dialogue in-game, as the developer demonstrated on the stream. We also got a Dead Space remake. They're shooting for early 2023. So they actually have a window in mind.
So did you watch this stream?
I didn't. I did not. I just compiled the actual gameplay footage. Here is from the actual, let's see, the YouTuber here is Gamer Spry. So but I didn't watch the actual full-blown stream.
So I wanted to tell you, as a dev, as a former dev, I'm very excited about this game. Like, the tech they're pushing, this reminds me of, like, and I've done this with my own games, and I think it's the best way to do it, is get your other teams involved, not just the designers, not just the programmers, get the other teams involved, make some tools for them, see what they think will do well. And you can tell that's what's going on with this audio, because they have made some tools that clearly only audio people would request. Because the audio team was bugged about little audio things in the original game that no one would fucking notice but them. So like you're entering from outside and you do a sigh of relief, but you still have your heartbeat and your breath going at the same time. So you essentially hear your voice twice, which no one fucking noticed, but it bugged them.
Right.
And so they're workarounds. So they built two big systems that have me really excited here. There's so a big thing with what's the lighting thing people do? Ray tracing.
Yeah.
Have talked about is like, what if we did ray trace audio? And
we were talking about that recently.
Yeah. And instead of saying, hold my beer, the dev space said, like, I'll just put my beard down while I do the thing. We don't need to get that fancy.
Yeah.
So they made like a node-based like ray tracing thing, which is way fucking dumber and is going to do the exact same thing.
Whoa.
So you
which
just
that's
had...
a way to do it.
Yeah, it's going to be CPU-wise, it's going to be incredibly easy.
Yeah.
You don't need a GTX card or whatever, RTX card. And it's gonna sound great. And they did some material stuff. Like it's quality. It's gonna be very nice in terms of making things feel nice and realistic audio wise. The other big thing is this crazy, like you mentioned, the Alive system. I hate that acronym, but
it does stand for something. But yes,
right. But what they're doing is really cool. They're detailing his internal audio down to like how a heart works, right? How that BPM of the heart works and goes up and down as you're doing stuff, as you're being frightened with your adrenaline rising and falling. It also like it tracks down to when he's breathing out and breathing in. Mm. And when he's going into dialogue, that's going to affect it. So yeah. He can't, like, for example, he won't say something when he needs to be inhaling.
Gotcha. But it can react on the fly because there's like those three different modes, right, depending on his heart rate and what he's breathing.
In addition to that, like when he's fatigued, whether he's as his breath is going up, also when he's injured. So there's three states: is fatigued, injured, regular, and the fact that they're counting breathing, heart rate, all this stuff, and you're gonna hear it. Even their like pre-audio version, they're like, this is just a prototype. It sounds really realistic.
Mm.
And the fact that they're doing that, the damage model they have on these enemies, like they're pushing some realism here that's gonna be really fucking upsetting to be in this world. And I am so jacked. This game is being made with 1,000% passion, and that's what made the first game great.
Yep. Yeah, it was absolutely unique, and I love that focus on the sound, especially because that's where it really excels with these atmospheric spooky games. That's where you want the sound to be on point,
right,
because it makes you just that much more terrified and scared of what's going on. And I like the idea of, you mentioned these systems they're working on with audio, where because you normally that would be something that would have to have some kind of higher end, graphics card, or like only next gen, which I think they are shooting for next gen. But whatever features you're starting to implement, you have to make sure that there's less clutter, so it just like can work efficiently. So mm-hmm. I love that they're, when you tell me that they're doing that, that just, it's great to hear, because flash forward to when this game releases, it only works on this, whatever current GPU, that sucks. So right. If you can kind of make sure that this thing, find your own workaround to make sure like lighting or audio situations work on like base hardware, then that's only going to, help you release. Because it sucks if this thing, releases and it's buggy as hell.
I think you bring up sort of an excellent question there, is will this run on previous gen systems without compromise?
Well, they've confirmed that it's next gen. They're shooting for next, or current gen rather. So PS4, oh, sure. Xbox original, not going to be there. But at least PS5, okay. Xbox Series S, I assume, and X. And then PC as well.
That surprises me a little bit. I think you could do this on last gen. But that being said, like, do your thing. This looks incredible. Oh,
yeah. I mean, I want, as we switch to 2023, I want these devs to be shooting for, okay, what is the hardware base now? And I think I would like them to use that current gen as the base now,
right,
and then go forward. Although, like, I looked up, there's a thing on Elden Ring on Steam, and how Steam keeps accurate, information on what people are using as far as graphics go. And it's like they're using 1650s, GTX 1650s.
Oh, sure.
That's the most common, a hardware for a GPU. So it's like, as the console generation moves forward and people kind of create the standard, there's still people rocking just like super old GPUs, so they have to count for that. But I don't know, we're getting to the weeds, but they're apparently shooting for current gen for this. I can't wait, man. And early 2023 isn't that far away. I guess right now it's early 2022, so we're about a year from now, but it doesn't feel like, I would expect it to be longer than that.
I did with this game originally, my thought was I want to beat the original and then do the remake. Having seen what they're doing with this, I don't even think I want to beat the original one. I want this to be my first Dead Space.
Yeah, I mean,
it's going to fuck me up.
I think I just love Dead Space in general, but Dead Space 2 is really where just like they kind of fine-tune every aspect of what they're trying to do.
Right.
But I would understand, waiting, because especially with I thought about holding out for RE4 until that next-gen release. That's still rumored. Capcom hasn't announced it yet. But then I finally just like buckled down and bought and played the original, 2 years ago, and loved it. But I think if there's enough gap where it's like you kind of forget what's going on, you almost experience it again playing it. That's how it was with RE4 VR. It's like, even though I played it, it was like a year within I played it, it still felt like a new experience.
That the RE4, though, to be fair, seems like a completely different.
Sure, because it is VR. It's like, built around that and kind of restructured that way. But yeah, it is a different kind of thing.
Get on EA, though. This is EA, right?
This is EA, yeah. EA Motive is handling this remake. But yeah, I can't wait. It's cool to see these updates, and it just like, it does work where it kind of gets you more crunk for as we get closer, a year from now to this release.
I think this one's going to get pushed, though. This seems still very early on.
Yeah, yeah. I would say if they committed to 2023, and then that gives them that whole year to move it around, but I wouldn't doubt if it gets pushed around. Or we're seeing stuff that's like, this is maybe from 3 months ago, 4 months ago kind of thing, and they're just talking about what they're working on, mm-hmm. but maybe we're not seeing like up to date footage. But who knows? We will see. But that is incredibly dope. Can't wait to play that game.
Can't tell if the laser beams are wiggling or if it's maybe just a frame rate issue and like some.
Or are they wiggling because they're trying to react to like geometry, so that you're seeing them, like it hits one step and then the next step, and or it's yeah some frame rate thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Not sure. I'll write him a letter, Gavin.
Okay, do that, please.
Now, Gavin, get your rumor hat on. We got some news on Fallout 2.
Oh, boy, am I about or, to sorry, eat another shoe?
Fallout New Vegas.
Whoa. Okay.
Switch to the B-roll here. So this is a fan favorite, ex-Bethesda director. Nope, that's the wrong one. As I switch, here we go. Fallout New Vegas 2 is reportedly in very early talks at Microsoft. It's from VideoGamesChronicle.com. Speaking on his Premium Giant Bomb show, VentureBeat's Jeff Grubb, which we talked about another rumor last week with Jeff Grubb, claims that original developer Obsidian could create a sequel to the classic RPG now that it's under the same roof as the license holder Bethesda. Says, quote, this is very early, but people have begun to have talks and say these words in sentences. And these words are
so
Obsidian.
So this is not under development at all.
Hey, I don't know, man. Jeff Grubb seems to leak stuff pretty often. So he says, and these words are Obsidian and New Vegas 2, Grubb said. We're talking years and years away. There's at least an interest in conversations happening about making something that's actually reality. Obsidian is currently working on active updates to Grounded, the new RPG Avowed, and Outer Worlds 2. But how do you feel about these very early conversations possibly happening with some kind of sequel or New Vegas related thing?
I'm excited. Have you played New Vegas?
Yeah.
What do you think? Because I have not played it.
It's one of my favorite ones. It took me a while to actually wrap my brain around it because I just loved Fallout 3 and that vibe that it had. And for some reason, the desert aspect to Fallout New Vegas didn't catch on to me, didn't latch on. And so it took a while before I tried it. And then once I did, you have the story options, which are, you know, a lot of people's favorites with the different factions you can align with. I just found more fun in that world. I just love the different vaults you can understand, like their take on Vegas itself. But I loved it. It's very much one of my favorite Fallouts.
It is crazy watching this footage. And I remember at the time thinking these graphics were showstoppers. Graphics are amazing.
Especially with Fallout 3. When they first, I remember that I knew nothing about Fallout. And then eventually it was E3, whatever, 2005 or whatever. They have that trailer where they show the actual, I think it's like a TV screen that zooms out into a bus.
Oh,
and then
War never changes.
Yes. And then as a Ron Perlman often did that intro. And then eventually have that Enclave soldier, the, you know, with the armor walking around. I was like, oh, dude. And then you see eventually we got footage. You have the VAT system, which I loved. I know a lot of people didn't like VATs, but I like being able to specify different aspects of people and then how like over the top gore it was. But I was a fan from then on.
That'd be cool. I hope they do it. Like they say, like you said, they are saying years and years, very easily years and years and years. Cool. Now, here's the question. Will it beat the next Elder Scrolls game?
Yeah, that's where it becomes tricky. And I would hope that Bethesda does give this away to another dev, especially now that they have Obsidian under their umbrella, as the article says, where it's like they're the ones who handled the original, assuming they have the time to actually start working on it. They'd be the ones that to hand it off to, at least to give you time while Bethesda itself internally works on the next Fallout that they want to do.
Right.
This would give it would give more energy to that property, because Fallout 76 was controversial. A lot of people didn't like it.
It was so buggy at the launch.
And it's kind of not dead in the water, and they've been updating it still. But I think it doesn't have the same taste in your mouth as like a Fallout game.
Yeah.
And so if you could hand it off to the other dev team that actually provided something that was on that level and give time for Bethesda to work on their next entry, it seems like a no-brainer. But as we talk about like what Obsidian's working on, they have three big games that they're doing, at least that we know of. So who knows before they can actually tackle this thing if they're going
to
do it.
I'll be really curious to see the future of Obsidian. I think in terms of hype-wise, well, I feel like the hype for Obsidian is somewhat niche, even though I always forget they're the ones that made the Stick of Truth.
Did they?
Which is like, honestly, God, one of my favorite RPGs of all time.
Yeah.
But they've got this quality. I think they're ramping up. What's it? Outer Worlds showed a lot of promise.
Right.
That Grounded game, honestly, God, I hate survival games. I hate them. I've had so much fun in Grounded.
Yeah.
I think these guys are on an upward trend. They could be they could be the studio to beat here in the future.
Yeah, now they have the money of Microsoft behind them, where it's like they could staff up and handle all these different projects and handle something like Fallout. In addition to cranking away updates to Grounded, they have Avowed, which is huge. People are really excited for that. I'm excited for it. So it's interesting. I'm hopeful, but all we have is like conversations are happening. Somebody who was mopping the floor said, you know, Obsidian and Fallout New Vegas too. So that's all we have at this point. But Jeff Grubb, he seems to like really be on the nose with this kind of stuff. He has he has insider information. So
you're jacked is what you're saying.
I'm jacked. So we're getting Fallout New Vegas 2 at E3 confirmed is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That'd be amazing. Directed by. Who's the guy that did Psychonauts?
Oh, yeah. I can't think of the name for some reason because we were on the spot. But yes.
I actually thought it was funny in an interview they did with him after he won some big award. They were just like, so do you want to work on any other franchise with Microsoft now that you're bought? And he goes, absolutely not. No, I'm just going to make my own stuff.
No Gears of War, you know, with his spin on it. Yeah.
Tim Schafer makes Tim Schafer originals.
Yeah. I think you hire him. We talked about it before. It's like you hire him for that. You let him. You lock him away, let him do whatever he wants, blank check, and let him do what he wants.
Right. And he does let his employees do their own thing. Like some of those smaller games they put out, that was just employee ideas they did during those game jams they do, the Insomnia Fortnite. So he does let people take the reins, but.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice, Gavin. Well, we got the next article that I skipped over originally. Fan favorite ex-Bethesda director Ikumi Nakamura introduces new studio Unseen. So you might remember this person from E3s in the past.
Oh, her!
Yeah, so she's starting her own studio.
Is she not still working on Ghostwire?
No, so she left a little bit after Ghostwire was announced. And
she was the best part of that presentation.
Right, exactly. So she kind of left the actual studio after that. She actually, in this interview with IGN about the new studio Unseen, she talked about how she had a kid. And it's kind of like looking at different opportunities and started her own studio. Oh. And it's just very early on. So they're in this empty studio itself, empty building, and the actual video goes into concepts of what the studio is going to look like. So it's very super duper early on, but it is happening.
Now, Fonzie, I know you're a fan of the thick frame glasses. What could I do to convince you to get these cool under glass only glasses that she's rocking at E3?
I have to flashback or like reverse.
They're in the footage.
Yeah,
it is just the bottom. There's no top frame.
I don't know. For me. I'd give it a try. If they're cheap enough, I'd definitely try it out and see. Maybe I can Photoshop my face in there and see. I'll just cut her face out, put the glasses on me. But if they're cheap enough, I'll try. You see me wear definitely weird glasses, so I'll try them. I think the only ones I can't rock is like the Matrix where the Morpheus, like they snap into the nose.
Buddy.
Those are tough.
Have you ever seen the people that get the piercing right here and they put the glasses attached
on
to those?
No.
I would just be so fearful that something would snag that.
Yeah, I'm not. Not trying to fuck around and see, as they say.
Ooh.
But just some reminders on Ikumi Nakamura, if I'm saying it correctly. So she worked on The Evil Within 2014,
ooh.
Evil Within 2 in 2017. Ooh. She was the creative director on Ghostwire Tokyo, which actually is coming out very soon. She left the company mid-development, and she also did artwork for Akami in 2006 at Clover Studio and Bayonetta in 2009 at Platinum Games. So she's been around the game dev for sure.
Sounds like whatever she makes next is going to be slightly fucking weird.
Yeah, and I'm all for it, especially like seeing, I imagine she
are we in the metaverse right now? Is that what this
is? That's the concept of the studio, yeah.
So that reminds me of the studio of that, whatever that Apple TV show is.
It's like Quest Fest or whatever.
Yeah, Quest Fest or whatever. Yeah. Epic Quest. There we go.
Yeah, it's very, like, I think they just, when IGN caught her, they gave her the keys to this place, and they filmed the interview, because it's like super duper early on.
Yeah, this is slightly weird. It's like, who the fuck cares about the layout of your studio?
At least just like, hey, it's my official announcement. You know, we're going to make the studio. The actual footage shows some of the dev team. I think they're still hiring.
Yeah. Do they just have a bar? Is that what that is?
I think that was a concept, yeah.
Okay. Can I come work?
Yeah, I just want to hang out. See what they're working on. But you mentioned it's going to be weird for sure. So she was the creative director originally on Ghostwire Tokyo, which I imagine she has a huge imprint on what it still looks like today. And it's a super weird game.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm very much for it. But so I imagine the next thing is going to be equally weird and creepy. And I'm all about it.
This really just looks like a restaurant.
She might be building a restaurant that also makes games and burgers, you know? It's early on, so we don't know. But yeah, that was in the news this week. So, yeah, the next one here, I don't know how familiar you are with this, but it's been pretty big online. So, Hackers now demand NVIDIA should make their drivers open source or they leak more data. So this is from VidiCards.com. It's been not leaking, but like this news has been coming out over the past 2 weeks now. So following now multiple reports of the ransom cyber attack on NVIDIA servers, the hacking group Lapsus now demands NVIDIA should release their drivers for Windows, macOS, and Linux as open source, which isn't going to happen. Should NVIDIA fail to meet this demand, which they already have, the group threatens to release chipset files, graphics, and silicon information for existing and upcoming GPUs. So all this stuff has happened. So these hackers have released a lot of internal data for NVIDIA. So since last week, hacker group Lapsus has released the credentials of over 71,000 NVIDIA employees, allowing the group to release their own. Yeah. So they released their own malware NVIDIA drivers that people can accidentally download to, which is a huge no-no, and obtain around 1 terabyte of company data. They have leaked upcoming internal GPU code names, as well as data pointing to a custom GPU possibly for the next iteration of the Switch. So that was last week. People were seeing these code words that only the Switch used for the last time they had NVIDIA make their custom chip for the Switch, which is whatever that code name is, has a 2 on it. So people were thinking, oh, is that the Switch 2?
It's the Dolphin 2.
Yeah. Was that the GameCube, I think?
I think the Dolphin was the emulator. I can't remember what the GameCube actually was. Or maybe they did name the emulator after the chip.
I think Dolphin, when I think of that, it's GameCube, but could be wrong. So Lapsus demands NVIDIA make their GPU drivers open source, as well as remove current software that limits crypto mining on its cards. So it's a lot of crypto bros who are very angry. I
mean, the crypto bros will always find a way.
Yeah.
They will always find a way. I wouldn't worry about that. I don't know.
But they've already hacked them. It's like, it's happening. I know there's some layover with Samsung because they use like their stuff for making chips and they've been hacked already. Yeah. And it's a whole shit show, but it's because the demands they want are so incredible because NVIDIA is going to like release this sensitive information on the drivers or limit this crypto mining stuff. So it's never going to happen. So they're just going to keep leaking stuff as well.
That sucks.
Yeah. So I don't know what happens with that, but
I guess everyone just suffers and this is our life now.
NVIDIA just rolls out the next, you know, RTX 40 or whatever. Even nobody can buy the original ones, but it's interesting, but
terrible.
Yes, that's been happening the past couple weeks. So let's move on to some positive news.
So I assume you've watched this.
I've only seen a couple of these vids, so I'm watching this in real time with you.
I know a lot of people had the same reaction to you as like, do Dino Crisis.
Right.
And I have such little experience with Dino Crisis. I played a little bit of my buddies on Dreamcast, and I got terrified when I had to sprint through a room filled with dinosaurs. I was like, this is the end. I'm just done now.
Which I just love the idea of Dino Crisis. I never played it, but when you have a team that's made, you know, zombies as iconic as Resident Evil has, it's like it's a great idea to do that same thing with dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Dino Crisis did that exactly, but people really love that, have fond memories of that franchise.
Sure.
But the actual game here is people thought it was going to be Dino Crisis. It's Capcom revealed Exo Primal coming to PS4, PS5, Xbox in 2023. And here's the trailer.
This concept just looks fucking ridiculous.
Nice. You haven't seen any footage. I don't know what engine they're using.
You haven't
seen this? No, I just heard people saying, oh, it's not Dino Crisis, and they were bummed.
Yeah.
But you're fighting.
This is what Anthem should have been. Is get in your mech, and then we're just going to, well, I'll let it speak for itself when it happens.
They tried, right? Because you're fighting, you know, actual monsters, animals on a planet and robots.
But in this case, we're going to be on Earth, and we're going to have a portal that just fucking rains down velociraptors.
Damn, it's like the abyss or whatever. A lot of those dinosaurs are dying in the process.
Nah, they're fine.
Okay.
It's a video game.
Interesting that, because they have this property they're sitting on, but they said, let's make something new. Maybe they're not tied to whatever by doing this new thing.
I almost get with the attitude of this, like almost like Devil May Cry vibes. Yeah. And if anyone can do that, it's Capcom.
Yep. That's their whole jam. They're just diarrheaing dinosaurs into this cityscape.
Very much like Earth Defense Force vibes.
Yeah.
But it looks legit fun. Just throw a million velociraptors at me and give me a gun.
And imagine there's classes you can choose, you know, like a melee heavy. Uh-huh. Yep, like that guy. And then shooting.
The shield guy actually looks really cool. I'd definitely be playing this guy.
What's with my quality here? Oh, we're watching the 480p. No big deal. There you go. Jesus. Yeah, it looks
Jeez.
Whoa. It's enough slices, man. It's enough dinosaurs.
Just spewing through the window like that. Like, this just looks silly.
Ooh, destructibility.
Uh-huh.
You got to have the T-Rex, of course.
Oh, yeah. Is this ringing any bells for you?
I'd rather play this and watch the new bullshit Jurassic Park movie.
I mean, you said that last trailer, though, was kind of dope. Got my old nostalgia bones going.
It doesn't do anything for me, but looks cool.
That was the perfect moment.
They're just dumping.
To jump out there.
Just dumping velociraptors on the street.
Oh.
Looks pretty cool. So they're shooting for 2023 on current and last gen.
Oh, really? We're doing last gen, too.
At least PS4, yeah. Nice. We'll transition into the next one here.
What is with those reverse heels?
Reverse heels.
Can you see that? He's got indents.
He's more like those, like when you work in a restaurant, those like insoles for your feet.
I'm guessing jetpack.
It could be jetpack.
Or jet feet.
Could be jet feet.
Gun shoes.
Jet feet confirmed. Alrighty, Gab, we got the next weird. My mouse is being super weird.
Running low on batteries.
It could be. I thought I replaced it recently, but so PC and PS5 exclusive Ghostwire Tokyo is out later this month on March 25th. There was a demo, or not a demo, a new trailer. Do you have any interest in this game? We were talking about Ghostwire recently.
I'm interested. It could be fun.
It's on PC.
I won't be upset if it turns out to be a shitter, but like if it's good, I'll play it.
I'm very interested. We talked about that original creative director, Ikamura. I want to say that's her name. Being a part of this, I like the weird like Neo Tokyo with monsters and ghosts going on. And then I don't know if the trailer shows it because I haven't seen this new one, but you're doing these like, okay, there you go. These actual like gestures, which seems really cool to like initiate these attacks. And there's just like neon everywhere. It looks nuts.
Yeah. Seems like it is fun. I mean, it sucks. Like first person combat like this can be really hard to pull off, but if you can pull it off.
Right.
Power to you.
Yeah, and I'm more interested in this kind of stuff because this dev did Evil Within, and I just wasn't too fond of that, but I like this kind of style compared to that.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Yes, fingers crossed. My mouse shits the bed. The next one here, Forspoken. I don't know if this is on your radar. So it's an upcoming game from Square Enix, which was just delayed from May 25th to October 11th.
Is this the pretty one?
It's a pretty one, but it also got a new trailer here. So I was on the state of play as well. But it's this kind of fantasy sort of open world RPG-ish.
Yeah, from the Square Enix team. Yeah.
It looks very much like it'd be at times like an Unreal Engine 5 demo. Because like especially when she's running in the desert.
I thought it was Unreal 5. Maybe it's just whatever Square Enix is.
That's what I think it is. Yeah, whatever their proprietary engine is.
That reminds me, something I thought was crazy. I noticed when I was looking at the tools for the Dead Space thing. Frostbite.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I forgot that they were still having people use that.
Yeah. I guess it was built from the ground up, but still it has issues. Mm-hmm. But this game, it's a looker, man. I'm a bit bummed because this wasn't my radar, but at the same time, there's enough out that I still have yet to play. Like, take your time. That is a good jump from like May to October, but you have extra months to polish it, so not mad at it.
I don't know if this year is going to be the same as I feel like last year was just banger after banger, even though most people disagreed because they're crazy.
Mm.
But I wonder if this year is going to be kind of the same. Oh, I'm down.
Yeah.
We're fucking surfing on lightning.
Lightning surf.
Say less, fam.
Right? I'm in.
That was my favorite part of Tinykin. I was surfing on a little bar of soap.
All right.
I could do a kickflip. If she could do a kickflip, game of the year.
100% she's going to do a kickflip. You can't have surfing or skateboarding. If you don't do it, 0 out of 10. If you do it, 10 out of 10.
I wonder, like, man, you must be able to get so OP in this game because it's just.
I imagine eventually, yeah.
It's just you're exploding half the screen with a different superpower in every single shot.
Right.
They just let their. I think they let their effect team design the game.
Just particles on particles.
Yeah.
You play a particle.
I'm down. Sign me up.
Yeah. It looks dope. But they got some extra months to work on it. So that is cool. Got the next one here, Gavin. Gundam Evolution. So our buddy Andy would be very excited for this.
Yeah, he would. Tell me about his Transformer tattoo.
Do I not have the trailer ready?
Is that not the one in Japanese?
Nope, that's not the right one.
You mean Gundam or Gotham?
Gundam.
Okay.
All right, so I'm gonna have to type this like a caveman. Here we go.
You didn't put on caps lock for once. I'm proud of you.
I just turned it off because I did have it on. Because I only yell.
This is the thing that blew my mind. Back in like 2007 when I went to Japan, and I went to like a game store in Japan, they have, like, we had almost no Gundam games in that era. They had a fucking million.
Mm.
They got a goddamn aisle dedicated to Gundam.
That's the thing. This game was originally, it was already known that it was going to release in Japan, and we're actually getting a Western release in late 2022. Oh. But so same vein as you're talking about. It's like, but there's still people, I imagine, here that love Gundam.
Yeah.
It's huge. And robots in general. But this is an interesting take on like a first-person version of Gundam.
Kind of just looks like Halo with way too many HUD elements.
Oh, yeah. They could take it easy on that for sure. But
destruction. What are we destructing? But I'm guessing there's no destruction.
Maybe you're destroying a control point, kind of like a various, like a game mode kind of thing. I think
you're destroying other mechs, and they just put destruction on the screen.
They got to tell you destruction is happening, otherwise you don't know. You put it in text. It's cool. I'm not a huge Gundam fan, but I love robots, so sign me up, especially first-person kind of shooting stuff. Now, the 6v6 competitive thing turns me off because it's like if I have to play a role, and if it matters if I drag the team down, then I'm less likely. But it's cool.
Gotcha. That's exciting.
I like that it's first person because you think the go-to would be a third person thing. Or I've seen, like, I think there's Gundam Fighters, like a almost like a side scrolling, like 2D fighting kind of thing. I've seen plenty of those or open world stuff, but this is like a shooter.
Yeah. This is free to play, all right? This looks,
I don't have that information.
Not to be
yet.
The Debbie Downer, but this looks free to play.
They might eventually transition into that. I don't know if out of the gate. But that might even be more successful if they could do first free to play right out of the gate.
Oh, for sure.
But people love their Gundam, and that's coming out very soon.
Huh. Oh, that design is fucking cool.
Oh yeah, and that like Juggernaut kind of robot.
Of course, it's not in the back.
It is not, but it was seen. It does exist.
So Bumblebee, it's fine. It's everyone's favorite Transformer. It's
roughly Bumblebee. Again, we got some TMNT game stuff.
Mm.
This is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Cowabunga Collection. Too many words.
I didn't know it was called that.
Yeah, so it's 13 classic Ninja Turtle games coming out.
Wow.
13 of them, which is all of them, I imagine.
What is your favorite Ninja Turtle game?
Oh, man.
It looks like they're going to show the name, so if you need a refresher.
Well, I merge them all together in my mind, but I've played, we have that skate rink in town. And they had a Ninja Turtle actual like arcade thing set up. And I want to say it was like a four-player one. It might have been Turtles in Time or something else. But I played that a bunch as a kid. And then of whatever like rented Sega and Super Nintendo versions. But they just all melt in my head. So I don't know which one I played. But I had a lot of fun.
I think the arcade game was on the SNES. I think that was my favorite. But I really can't recall these.
See, I want to say Turtles in Time. But I forget. But they're dope. They always the whole brawler world works with these kind
of
games.
Maybe I'm thinking of Turtles of Time.
Could be. I know people have fond memories of that one for sure. But you're getting 13 Ninja Turtle games, so that's pretty cool.
Get a slice of that action.
Literally. That's cool. Megan says, did you sort of surf Lightning in Infamous? You did. That was the Infamous on PS4. Where you can either like jump into Lightning, but you can also kind of glide and surf. That was a great game. I loved it. Second Son. And then there's Second Light, which is like another character, but that's a great game.
Is that the one that has purple?
Yeah, it's like purple and neon purple. Everything. Yeah, she has a purple power. Purple Gatorade is her favorite. But yeah, just like the movement in those games is really fun. You can just like just glide and skate everything, basically. Hmm. It's very fun. But I'm ending on this last one here. Well, first, we got Black and White Samurai game Trek to Yomi. It's coming to PS4, PS5. I don't know if you guys see this, but it's just a really cool stylized samurai game that's coming out.
Yeah. Published by Devolver. Yeah.
Yes, I think you're right. But very, very gory, graphic, but also like stylizing these classic, you know, black and white samurai movies. Even more so than, say, like Tsushima, which had that mode, but this is like even more so in that direction.
Right. And I think they said that was their goal from the start,
mm.
which works well because Devolver also publishes movies.
Oh, really? Gotcha.
So I'm sure they got some influence there.
That makes sense. So that's coming this spring. So this year, coming out very soon. So add it to the list, basically.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
I mean, they did just release a game without a whimper. What was it? What was that game they just
Shadow Warrior 3?
Yeah, Shadow Warrior. No one's talking about it.
No, and it got fair reviews. Yeah. And I think it's like a shorter campaign, which that actually, you know, makes me more interested if I can kind of jump in and have fun.
I think 4 hours, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I'm surprised I didn't go that direction because I forgot to mention, I downloaded Destiny 2's Witch Queen DLC. I've been playing that the past couple of days.
Oh, really?
And I haven't played Destiny 2, and I looked it up. I think 2017 is when Destiny 2 originally came out. I played that campaign, and I just, like, put it in the closet. I never played it again. And now 5 years later, I'm playing this, and I'm having fun. I have no idea what's going on. Zero clue.
The plot, like, I think they killed the sphere thing, the Guardian at some point or whatever it's called.
Maybe. I don't know. I think that happens in the first one, but there's stuff that happens in the second one. There's, like, a new baddie, and now there's a new baddie that's, like, crazy cool. It's basically like you're in this world that looks like a Dungeons and Dragons, you know, role demo or something. Yeah, it's like these crazy characters. It's very in that direction, but you're still shooting stuff, and it's very fun. But I just have no idea story-wise what's going on. That's fine. They tell you who to shoot, and you shoot them. The guns were really good. The movement's really good. I enjoy it. But I'm very early on. I'm like maybe 3 hours in. But
oh, damn.
Having a blast. But I was also thinking, I kind of forgot about it because that's what reminded me, is that Shadow Warrior 3 did seem interesting, but I just forgot and decided to go with Destiny.
I think the one thing which I kind of want to play Shadow Warrior for is they have like the glory kills, right? But you can use something from the guy you just glory killed. So it's like, oh, pull out this guy's eyeball and throw it at the next guy.
Gotcha.
Or you spike off these ones to get a boost in the air. So that seems kind of neat, kind of fun.
That is cool. That is cool.
But, something real quick, though. So Returnal's got co-op.
It does.
Are you going to...
I got you, fam.
Oh, I didn't actually see that tab there.
Oh, yeah.
All right, that's perfect.
So Returnal to receive a new survival challenge mode as well as original campaign co-op this March 22nd.
Do you think they just make it even harder?
Well, I think that challenge mode is. It's like Tower of...
Oh, the Endless
Vesuvius
mode?
Or something. Yeah. That one seems like the next step up if you want another challenge, which I don't know how you would because the game's already super hard, but... If you're one of those insane people that could play it, then yeah, there's that extra DLC content. But then what really piques my interest is the co-op mode, which I haven't heard anything if they're scaling the difficulty or it's to like the base mode difficulty with a campaign buddy. That's more in my direction where it's like I'd love to play with somebody else, but still have that. If I had another, you know, extra set of hands, I think we could both handle it.
Do you will Callum play this one with you?
We talked about how we both were at the same level. I think he was able to kind of proceed further than me, but we both kind of hit a point, a wall where it's like we couldn't really play anymore.
Jesus,
so
how late game is the stuff we're seeing? This looks insane. And
I'm not
very
sure.
Alien.
Yeah, the whole game is very much in that vein, which is why it's like it was such a bummer that I couldn't play it because it's so cool looking.
Right.
And a huge influence to the Alien movies and is H.R. Giger with like the art style. So I'm going to really try and link up with Callum and if we can play this, that'd be dope.
That'd be a cool one.
Or maybe they link you up with another random person. That could be cool too, I guess. Or an AI buddy. Who knows?
What we're saying is stay tuned.
Yes. Because I know you're not going to get a PS5 anytime soon.
No.
I think you have zero interest in that. But that's cool. Gives me a little glimmer of hope that I can play some Returnal. So hopefully. That works out.
God, that's so pretty.
It's a very pretty game. And that's one. This is the one game that really shows off the DualSense abilities with like you feel the vibration of these guns in different ways. Also, the raindrops, you can like physically feel them on the actual controller because they can kind of move where they want the vibration to happen.
Weird.
And then you have the resistance on the triggers and different like firing modes for how far you push them down. It's a really good way to show off the DualSense. But in addition to like the crazy graphics, and the gameplay is super tight. It's just very, very hard.
Right.
But I'm hopeful that I can jump in. Gavin, some other news. We got Xbox announces an indie showcase for next week.
Oh.
It's from IGN. Xbox announced the Steam in a blog post saying it will include the stream in a blog post saying it will include a number of new game announcements and updates of current releases. The showcase will take place on March 16th at 10 a.m. Pacific.
Rounded update.
It's possible. So I think they're focusing more on indie, but it could be there. So Xbox,
you're probably right.
Their post reads, fans will also get a chance to see the latest here and hear from teams working on Shredders, which is like the snowboarding game, Roblox, and some new games that you need to tune in to see.
Yeah, Roblox.
Roblox is huge. It's kind of nuts that no one talks about it, but it's like under the radar, huge. But that's it for the news this week, Gavin. Huh? Now, do you want to end the stream if you're got to take off?
What time is it?
It's we've been going about an hour and 20 minutes here.
At 8 o'clock.
What do you think? You want to just call it a day?
I think we call it there.
You got it. Where can they find you on the internet, Gavin?
You can find me on Twitter, at DrunkDevs.
Boom, boom. And you can sign up.
You can sign up for Patreon at patreon.com.
You can sign these nuts here. You can keep up with the show as well on Twitter, at PlusCarPod. That's it for us this week. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.